Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good meowing. Good meowing, America.
Good mewing.
Good.
Good meowing.
Good afternoon.
Good meowing. Good evening. My name is Brian Gerard. I'm going to try that again. Sorry. I hesitated.
Can we get a new guy to intro at some point?
Yeah.
Me. I did really well that one.
You did well.
You did.
What about me?
It was, no.
Have you ever done it?
I haven't done it.
And you never
will. That's what she said.
It didn't work. Okay, Brian, just intro the show.
My name is Brian Gerard. I'm alongside Gregory Hoyt and Robert Scheid.
Hello.
This is the Scheid Show.
Bing. Yay.
Bang.
Bong. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Silent night.
Guys, that's not the right song.
Holy night.
Definitely not the right song.
First night of November.
No, it's not. It's
last night of October. Get your candy and put on your sheets.
Guys, this is wrong.
Don't forget you're forbidden to sleep.
What? No, you can
insomnia
sleep.
On Halloween.
Guys, this is not.
Insomnia on Hallow's Eve. I'll eat your face. That's the Halloween carol.
That's the Halloween carol.
That I was Halloween taught as a child.
Also, Halloween is known as other... there are some other names to Halloween.
All Hallows' Eve.
All Hallows'
Which
Eve.
Which I referred to in the Halloween carol that I just sang.
Yes, it was beautiful.
It's widely known
that
throughout the land.
That was a Christmas carol that you bastardized to make it sound like it was for Halloween.
Watch your language.
Okay.
We have listeners that are opposed to such adverse language.
What? The word bastardized?
There he did it again.
There are people who are bastards in the world who are right now hanging themselves in their closets.
You think we insulted them by saying that?
There's another name for Halloween.
What?
It's the annual slut and hoedown.
Well, depending on what city you're in, I think that's 100% true.
I think that's universal. Yeah.
That's a universal.
It's the slut and hoedown.
Hallows Eve is also known as the universal slut and hoedown.
You know, because you go into these costume stores, right? And you see the guy costumes, right? Guy costumes, you can be
pirate.
You know, a pirate, a cop, right? Mm-hmm. A construction worker. It sounds like, you know.
A dentist.
Right.
You can be
a gynecologist.
Yes.
Sure.
Wait, what?
You can be any member, basically, of the YMCA,
exactly.
Essentially.
Right.
Essentially, you can pretend that you're a member of the YMCA.
A yoga instructor.
Okay, Brian.
Okay.
Just shut the
A NASCAR
phone.
Driver.
Right. So, and then you look at
we already said that.
Costumes for the women.
Yeah.
Crossing guard.
And most of them are crotchless panties. I mean, it is an excuse for women to just let it hang out.
But you know what? It is a celebration. It's a celebration. I applaud it as well.
Yeah.
I recently also had this discussion with some female friends of mine.
Yeah.
Your
and
mom?
And they...
I hope... Does your mother dress as the slutty crossing guard? Or does she dress as the
Robert?
Okay,
the nurse. whatever it is that a woman is going to be for Halloween, I don't know when this started. Probably around like Salt and Pepper. When Salt and Pepper started singing "Let's Talk About Sex,"
yeah.
I think that's around the time that All Hallows Eve turned into a slut fest.
I would love,
and I
to
say
go
that
back
word with love. I say that I'm not calling women sluts. I'm calling the
actual
costumes
evening a
the
slut festival.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. It's a festival of whoredom,
right?
And flesh.
Okay. It's a flesh.
It's like a celebration of women's flesh.
Mm-hmm. It's like Bacchanalia. Like
right.
There used to be that. Is it Greek?
Yeah, Bacchus.
Bacchus. Like that was like a big festival.
The Bacchae.
The Bacchae.
The Bacchae.
Like that basically has, I think, been injected into Halloween because we don't have it otherwise, right? I mean, Christmas isn't that. Fourth of July kind of touches on that a little bit.
We as in who?
Like, human being. Like American. Okay, American.
American, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, Christmas isn't just us, but...
Sure it is. That's an American holiday exclusively. Anyways, I'm just saying like where that energy of total sexual like... just exposing sexuality, especially for women, Halloween takes the cake by far.
Well, you know what? There is a good question about whether or not All Hallows Eve was always or was never a sexual thing. But I think it was. You know, back in the day, it was a celebration of sort of this pagan kind of ghosts will come out and maybe, quote unquote, possess you. And
Right, so you have an excuse.
Women or whatever would all get all naked, go out in the woods and dance around under the
fires.
Full moon, right?
Yeah, right, because you're going to harvest all the corn.
And now they do it down in West Hollywood.
Right.
Right.
Mm. And you know what they wear?
Crotchless panties.
That's correct. Well, in West Hollywood, there are men who do the same thing. But
yeah, they do.
But I'm going to say it's not just in Hollywood or Los Angeles.
No, this is across the country.
Everywhere you go, it is a national free pass night for women to dress as ridiculous as possible and to throw out as much flesh as possible. And it is a celebration.
It is.
It is celebrated, and it is not looked down upon, whereas any other day of the year, if you were to wear something like that, it would be unacceptable.
But what did you guys dress up as kids? Do you remember any specific like Halloween costume that you wore that sort of stood out?
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of, I would dress up as Richard Nixon and wear one of those old bank robber masks.
Okay, yeah.
But I had a weird thing where...
Was it because of Point Break, the movie, or...?
Yeah, there was definitely an influence there.
All right.
And I would run around with guns, you know, like fake, realistic-looking fake guns.
That's actually very much like actual Richard Nixon.
He also was packing heat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we would... Part of my Halloween thing became linked... forever with dummies. In high school and middle school, my friends back east and I would always make these really lifelike dummies.
Yeah.
And we would throw them off of highway overpasses and
oh my god,
throw them off of buildings and laying them in the street.
Did anyone?
Yeah,
ever...
it was a nightmare. It was nothing but trouble.
Okay,
trouble which carried over to when I built a full size dummy here in Los Angeles with one of our good friends Chad Brokaw.
Uh huh.
And I was almost shot by the LAPD for that.
Well, we'll have to hear about that story a little later on.
The dummy thing was
that carried on
linked to Halloween. I think that the first dummy that we ever built was for like, oh, let's build like a scarecrow, and then we ended up building this dummy that was so real that we started throwing it. You know.
Now, what did you dress as? Like when you had it? Were you just dressed normal and you pretty much focused all your attention on the dummy?
No, I would be dressed like Richard Nixon. And, you know.
Still. Gotcha.
Still Richard Nixon. But I was kind of dressing like in high school. A lot of days were dress-up day for me. Like I would be in costume.
Like you would take the Richard Nixon mask to high school.
Yeah.
And the gun.
And the fake guns, yeah. I would dye my hair purple. I'd wear like old bell bottoms
every day.
And stuff. Not every day, but a lot.
You
there
colored
was a lot
your
of,
hair as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One time, Graham Sorsa shaved my head on accident.
How is that on accident?
It was an accident. He didn't oil the clippers that he said he oiled, and so it was a disaster. He took a big chunk out of it. So I had to go the whole way.
Yeah. Growing up with you guys. Sounds like a complete nightmare.
It does.
It was. I don't like to think about it.
I am shocked that you survived.
I am too. I am too.
Brian Gerard, how about you?
I don't think of – there are no costumes that I think of that really pop out. I remember I used to I was a football player when I was a little kid. I remember it was my grandfather had some football equipment in his basement. I'm like maybe talking 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I would put that on and I was like this – you know, oversized shoulder pads, and I was a football player. That costume sticks out to me. Overall, I never really got dressed up in high school, and never dressed up.
Yeah.
Never did anything. I don't really. The only Halloween that I think when I was in college, me and a group of friends, and it was like probably 10 or 12 of us. It was probably the best Halloween costume event that I was part of. We all dressed up as Batman villains.
Oh, cool.
And we all went, and we went in, like, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, and we took pictures out in front of like the city hall, and it kind of had, looked like had a Gotham backdrop.
Nice.
And I was the Penguin, but I was the Danny DeVito version of a Penguin. And that was like the most effort I ever put into a costume, and even to date. And even now, like I think about with Halloween upon us, what am I going to dress up as? Yeah. And I don't really all I'll probably do, and what I have done the last few years is just dress up, like wear a three-piece suit, top hat, like maybe kind of get like fully dressed up, and then people are like, oh, you're James Cagney,
and or you're, like,
you're from Mad Men, or oh hey, you're from Dragnet,
right?
And, or, and I'm just like, whatever it needs to be. Because there's a part of me, and I feel like this is probably way off base, but I'm going to go for it anyway. You know, Halloween is a night that celebrates women dressing as slutterific as possible. And we celebrate that.
Okay.
And I think about what's the male version of that. And women really are always attracted to men who are really, dressed up and look together. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go ahead and do the same version of that.
Oh, I see.
That's an interesting
And get totally dudded up. Because, you know, I don't want to say especially in Los Angeles because I think it's anywhere, but men are pretty casual here. Like, no one dresses up. Like, men get away with dressing pretty casual, whereas women always have to dress up.
I always dress up.
But
I'd say the thing in L.A. is this. You need to spend a lot of time on your wardrobe to make it look like you haven't spent any time on your wardrobe.
Right.
You need to
Hollywood casual. Hollywood casual, as we call it.
You do spend a lot of time saying, oh, is this put together? Is that okay? All right, cool. And then, but it has to look like it was kind of just thrown together.
But
you didn't try very
hard. Back in the day, back when the real shit was going down, because Hollywood's not real anymore. Yeah.
And
the
people understand it.
It's where everyone, Hollywood's just a town chasing ghosts of decades past.
Speaking of Halloween.
Right.
But that when men would go out into the night, they would be fully assembled, dressed up, three-piece suits, polished shoes, perhaps a hat or an overcoat. Like really, you know, really
done
nice.
Ties, well, ties.
Always have ties. You know, so to me, I take Halloween as the last few years anyway to embody that kind of a vibe. How about yourself?
Well, you know, I also recently have not been doing any of these sort of group-based you know, costumes where you're like, hey, let's get together. Let's all be this. Let's all be that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been part of that. Lately, I have done the same thing where it's like, okay, what's in my closet? Oh, I've got a tux. So I am, you know, a secret agent of some sort. And I'll add on to that some way.
Do you bring
guns? Like last moment. What?
Guns. Do you bring guns?
For that one, no. I didn't have a gun. I taped an old phone receiver to my shoe, so I had a shoe phone, and I had like a giant camera stuck to my sunglasses, so it was my secret spy camera.
Mm-hmm.
This is all
not
kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Right, that was
secret.
The point.
Yeah.
I could say my favorite, or one that I remember the most, is when I was a kid, my mom she used to make my costumes and my brother's costume as well, and she made one year my brother a shark costume, you know, and his face was in the mouth, kind of hidden behind some
mesh. Like a gray white?
Yeah, the mouth was like open.
Jaws?
It's really cool.
Did you play Richard Dreyfuss?
No.
Or Rob Schneider?
I was.
Not Rob Schneider, that you, Robert Shaw.
Right, Robert Shaw.
Good job.
And 1,500 of us went into the water over the Indian Avas. 60 of us came out alive 3 days later. I swam over to one of my buddies, and I thought he was asleep. And I turned him upside down, and he had been bitten right now by one of them goddamn sharks.
So you ask me if I take it personal, but goddamn right I take it personal. Goddamn right I do. Got the gun? There you go, I'm gonna take him down. Son of a bitch!
So anyway,
we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Good job.
Yeah! So, I should go as Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Is that his name? Robert Shaw's a playwright from the 1500s.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You guys just ruined everything.
Why?
They just ruined it all.
Why?
Robert's talking about his shark outfit. I'm sorry, please, Robert, can you please get back to your shark?
Yeah, sorry.
You're endearing us with a nice childhood
memory. His brother
was
a shark.
My brother was a shark.
And your mom made the costume.
Yeah,
was it paper mache?
No, it was like actual fabric. And she had gotten this fur fabric and made this whole suit. It was awesome. The mask, she bought the mask, and she got the fabric to match the suit.
Wow.
But this was in Georgia. And it was very hot that year.
Oh.
So you can imagine that things were puddling up inside of that suit.
What do you mean, things were puddling up?
No, sweat. Oh. Sweat, guys. Oh. I don't know what is wrong with you. But
Georgia's a dangerous place.
It was pretty awesome. You know, every house we went to, you know, we were invited into the house. Like, oh, my God, come inside. Look at this. And, you know, like, you know, show off. And we were just like, we want the candy.
Oh, look, there's a shark at my door. Hey, right. Come on in, boys. Yeah. Boys, so, come on in. No, leave your parents out front.
It was a lot of fun.
Boys, come on in.
But that's what I remember.
Candy for you.
Great.
Get
some.
What?
Yeah. Oh, it's a little awkward. That's why? Mostly what Brian would say to kids. Remember, we talked about that.
I hear the word werewolf, and yeah. I immediately cringe.
Why?
I agree. I hate werewolves.
I used to have a recurring nightmare.
Is that what your fear is?
A werewolf.
Werewolf is... Like, werewolf scares the shit out of me a lot more.
It's not... It's W-E-R-E-W-O-O-F.
Werewolf.
A werewolf?
It's a werewolf.
Oof, woof, oh, woof, woof,
werewolf,
woof,
Scooby-Doo, woof,
a human.
Yeah, so wait a second. Is this like, did it stem from
like
Teen Wolf? Did that scare you?
No. I can tell you exactly where mine happened.
Let's hear it.
Sure that we all can relate to watching a movie that you're not supposed to watch when you're too young. I don't know where my parents were. I don't know how it happened.
I wonder if this is the same movie.
Okay, let me see. I'm up late.
Yeah.
I can remember it as clear as day because it was maybe the worst day of my life. It formed a lot of my life. And
it's why you live in fear so much.
It has a lot to do with it because being afraid to go to sleep for 6 months, it does something to you.
Yeah, that would.
At 4 years old or whatever.
Sure.
I don't remember how old I was, but it was really young.
Yeah.
I saw this movie. It was a werewolf film, and they were doing this test. This guy fully turns into a werewolf, and it's a grotesque werewolf. It's like, you know,
really,
hands
really
break.
Long,
yeah, like
snout kind of a thing.
Snarling teeth. And
yeah.
There's a guy watching him from behind this glass partition. It's like a science experiment. Of course, it goes bad. The werewolf has superhuman strength.
Not intentional.
No, they don't know that. Blows through the glass, tears this guy apart, and then is the last thing that I remember, and this was all what ended up being in my nightmare.
Yeah.
This whole scene playing out, I'm the guy behind the glass, it's blowing through the glass, the werewolf coming after me, and then we're running through a really dark, wet, wooded area with fog. There's literally a red ranch house that's kind of like a log cabin with a light in the kitchen. Swinging. The light is swinging. There's this big... No, there's no reason the light is swinging in the kitchen.
Sure.
It just is. It's just spooky. There's this big, long stack of wood, like a long wood pile, and it's wet, and it's leaves all over, and I run through the thing, getting chased by the werewolf. I can see it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
It's breaking down trees. It's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
I finally hide behind this wood pile, and... I hear the werewolf just stalking me, sniffing. Yeah, exactly. And it's like right on the other side of the wood pile, and I'm freaking out, and then I wake up. But it's the worst terror ever.
Yeah.
And it would recur every night for a long time. And I can remember, I really feel like I was so young, my parents just couldn't. I didn't tell them really. Like I couldn't really tell them.
When was this? Do you remember what it was?
I was really young. The movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. It was like it was like 19, probably early to mid 80s.
Wow.
It was, early mid 80s.
Well, what about yours, Brian? Was that
the same
time? Do you remember
time,
what yours was?
I know exactly when it
was. Can I time out, though? Those horror movies that they made, by the way, back then, had that really gross, campy feel that made them feel 10 times scarier than any movie that's being made right now.
John Landis.
Do you know what
stuff.
I'm saying?
I do,
yeah.
But it's a different. Horror movies now, and I'm by no means an expert in horror movies because I don't really watch them. But it's an interesting idea of horror movies now compared to those, like the John Landis movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I say John Landis because he is responsible for my nightmare.
Okay, go ahead.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing I watched it and was like...
Well, I'm sure your parents were probably like,
but then I watched
it's
a making
Michael Jackson.
Of it, but I still watched a making of it.
Yeah,
but it didn't do anything. It still didn't do anything. It was the end when he turns the screen and his eyes are yellow because it was a dream, but no, it really wasn't.
Oh, yeah,
The old double entendre.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore.
The Dumbledore entendre.
And you know what you scared me the most? Like, it's like just like talk about reoccurring nightmare after night after night, and I'm just like waking up. I'm not going to sleep. Is when they were dancing.
Really?
That choreography.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was scared of critters.
Critters.
I saw Critters.
I was terrified by Critters and Gremlins. I hated
those Gremlins.
Well, I got one for you. How about Fright Night?
No, don't even know it.
No.
Where literally the werewolf came through the guy's face.
Oh, I see.
His mouth went.
Wait a second. It sounds to me like werewolves still affect you to this day.
Oh, man. I don't fuck around. I won't. There's that new Anthony Hopkins, Benicio del Toro film. I won't even touch it.
Benicio del Toro is horrible.
Really? It is one of the worst movies ever made.
His accent is awful. It's just not. There's no way he would be his son. It's just kind of like,
it's insane.
It's bad.
But there's nothing afraid of it. Nothing scary about it.
No, it's very predictable. It's extremely predictable.
But for me, a guy who has a horrible terror of werewolves,
like
I'll be up at our cabin in New Hampshire,
yeah,
and I'll be like, "There's a werewolf is going to break through my door, the door right now."
We are able to scare the heck out of ourselves. Are you aware that werewolves don't exist?
No, I'm not aware of that. I'm absolutely not aware that werewolves don't exist.
Do you think a werewolf could come out of Brian's mouth, like, right now?
Not right now, because it's not a full moon. But I wouldn't want to be alone in the woods on a full moon night. Just because I think that there's something to all that stuff. Like, these people back in the day had these things because they were freaked out about stuff.
Well, people who had... Who had that that syndrome where the hair grows all over their face? I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah, and then they put them out into the woods, and then they became ravenous animals. A werewolf was born,
and then the folklore of werewolving was born unto us.
Well, this has been a wonderful discussion, and I hope that none of us die this Halloween.
Scared,
very scary.
Wishing everyone a happy Halloween. You know, I'd love to hear if anyone has any stories of their Hallows Eve that they'd like to share with us.
Yeah.
Specifically, more the slutathon, not so much as the werewolfathon.
Werewolfathon.
Do you guys get scared on Halloween though? Like, is there anything scary about it anymore for you?
Just that I'll be alone for the rest of my life. How about you guys?
Oh.
Just the fact that women who should not be wearing the outfits that are made for other women actually
are
put
wearing
on
them.
And they're wearing them.
Yeah.
And it causes me to have nightmares.
And you, Greg?
I think that there's something going on Halloween.
All right.
Well. I think there's something in that little group consciousness of everyone being kind of spooky and weird.
Yeah.
That it is a little bit scary.
Because
people are letting their freak flags fly.
They're flying high. You better believe it. Well, on behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt,
yes,
I'm Brian Gerard. This has been the Scheid Show.
Yay!
Boo!
Is that a werewolf?
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark.